You are listening to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here, parockshow.com. My name is Bill, and with me tonight are Scott and Rosanna.
Hello!
Hi!
On cue.
That's right. Oh, well, I guess we should have harmonized that or something.
So, I believe you guys are the first jazz group to ever be on the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
Yeah.
Breaking barriers.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having us on. You know, it's great. You know, there's people like you that are doing things like this, making podcasts, trying to shed some light at the Pittsburgh music scene. And you know, thank you very much. It's great to be on the show. And as far as our jazz, you know, we're certainly jazz influenced, but I don't know if we were considered like straight, like exactly jazz, but. Yeah,
what would you describe it as?
Oh, yeah. We struggle with
this. We've struggled with this for a long time.
You know, because when you apply to, I found that when you apply to certain festivals or apply to, you know, be on certain bills, they want you to, you know, you usually have a drop-down box of pick your genre or, you know, pick the three that define you. And, you know, we are an acoustic duo, so that's what... You know,
that's what
we do. We go with like singer songwriter, you know, acoustic, but style wise, I don't know. We're influenced by jazz, definitely. We met in our college jazz band, so we both draw a lot of inspiration from that. But you know, we do a lot of folk inspired songs.
I think your voice, you know, it tends to gravitate in a more jazzy, soulful style.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're definitely influenced by it, but I don't know if we're considered like a straight jazz band. You know what I mean?
Well, I heard you play Metallica about a week ago. So
what was that? Oh yeah, that was. I started playing guitar like around maybe seventh grade, and I was obsessed with Metallica. I love them, and my guitar teacher got me into a lot of classic rock as well. So I was just playing power chords all day. My brother would make fun of me because I, like the first couple of weeks, I only knew how to play Iron Man. So, he would just say things like, "You play this song every day. Hey, you repeat it." I don't know. Just kind of teasing me. And, yeah. So I like all types of music for sure.
Well, let's talk influences then.
Sure.
Rosanna, you want to tell us what your influences are?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the musical theater world. When I was little, I took classes at the Civic Light Opera downtown, and I was in a bunch of the shows downtown, and that was my life, and that's all that I listened to. It's funny, like, when I was in grade school, I didn't listen to the radio. I just had like a stack of musical CDs, and like I remember one day I started listening to like 96.1 Kiss in the car because like that was the cool thing to listen to, and my mom was like, what are you listening to? What is this? So that's kind of where I grew up, and I think it's interesting to see that a lot of my writing and the way that I've kind of started to evolve as a songwriter, there's a lot of musical theater influences and inspiration that I draw from what I used to do in that kind of world. So that's kind of where I came up musically. So,
and Scott, you're saying classic rock.
Yeah, classic rock is how I first started playing music, but my dad exposed me to a lot of different types of music. I remember him playing me a George Benson greatest hit CD. And I really liked that. And that's actually what kind of got me into the guitar. I just thought that was such a cool sound, and I just loved his tone and his phrasing and everything about it. So that's how I picked up the guitar. And my guitar teacher, Bill Tech, who, he owns, From the Top Music Shop in, Monongahela, he was an awesome teacher, and he just got me super excited about music, showing me all this classic rock that I never really heard before. So I was definitely brought up with more of a rock background.
And don't rock and musical theater just go like hand in hand.
Hey, whatever works.
Once I went to college, I bought an acoustic guitar, and I played with my roommate a ton. So I started, you know, just to listen to more maybe acoustic music, lighter music, and I started to kind of dive down that path a bit.
If you guys could open for any band, and anyone at all, doesn't, you don't have to pin even genres, you can pick any band. who would it be?
Oh.
Rose, you want to take that?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Well, me personally, someone who, over the past few years, who's really just like blown my mind as a vocalist and a songwriter is Alan Stone. I don't know if you're familiar with.
He's like a soulful, kind of bluesy guy.
Yeah.
He looks like a minion.
he looks like a human equivalent of a minion, but he's like.
The goobiest looking guy, but his voice is
unbelievable. And he's, we got to see him when we were living in New York, and I just love his style. And yeah, I would say him. I don't know who else.
Scott, would you pick somebody else, or would you go with him as well?
Would you go with him?
That's a solid choice.
The Spore Revival.
Yeah, I don't know if we would fit that bill.
We wouldn't. We would not fit the bill.
No. We recently saw a band a couple weeks ago at Club Cafe in Pittsburgh down Southside, and they're called the Dust Bowl Revival. They're kind of like a New Orleans brass style band, and whew, man, they blew the doors off the place. It was so much fun. So opening for them would be really good.
Yeah.
But as far as like acoustic kind of people, Ingrid Michaelson, maybe something like that.
I guess something like that. Yeah. Matthew Mayfield would be my choice.
Guar.
Guar.
What?
I don't think Rosanna knows who
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I can't even really describe it for you.
Guar?
I just say, like people leave very sticky from that show.
Yeah.
They like shoot fake blood at the audience.
Oh.
It's like corn syrup.
And they look like monsters.
Yeah.
Like, really look like monsters.
you would fit right in.
Yeah. Sounds right up my alley.
I can't even think of anyone. Even like I was trying to think of someone else off the wall to say, but that's I can't top Guar.
Right, yeah, that's imagine. A tough one to top.
Or Here Come the Mummies. They dress like mummies, so yeah. That's kind of.
I guess that's a good equivalent.
But
have you seen the Bloody Seaman from Pittsburgh?
You know, actually,
yes, they named themselves that way.
What?
Yeah, they dress like pirates. You were the one that showed me them, actually. Yeah, that's.
They dress like pirates. We need to have costumes. I feel like if everyone's jumping on that bandwagon,
yeah.
We need like I don't know, like matching like shiny shirts or something. I don't know. What could our gimmick be?
I don't know.
I've often thought of that. So like. When we lived in New York, I started writing a blog, I was really like fascinated with the way that people dressed, like performers, musicians, just how that related to the music and just how it kind of like encompassed the overall like feeling and, you know, experience that the audience was supposed to have. And, I find that very interesting. You know, a lot of people make it work really well and it really does enhance a show. And I think it's a struggle to kind of find what fits you. You know, it's like if you want it to be gimmicky, you got to commit to it to being gimmicky, yeah. You know, but if you want it to just be like a certain style that you have, it's a very like, it's a very interesting line to define for yourself. So I enjoy that. I don't know. They dress like pirates. That's great. Like,
how about Bethlehem? Have you heard of them?
No, but I'm really enjoying these names. You can throw out some more names.
They dress like medieval knights.
Yes.
And, okay.
All their albums are themed, and they tell a story. And like, if you listen from album one to album three, it all goes together.
Oh, wow! Oh,
cool. Kind of like a concept.
Yeah.
Right.
That's really cool.
That is cool.
Except they're metal.
Yeah.
And they're real metal.
Yeah. I feel like with that kind of sound, though, you can get away with, like, crazy outfits and costume and kind of, like, more over the top. I feel like we just played, like, a house show last night that was amazing. And I feel like if we were to show up in costume, like, an acoustic duo, you know, with a costume, I don't know.
I think we'd get a good response.
You think?
Maybe like all leather. What do you think of that?
You were really into the shark costume from Katy Perry's halftime show, so
I was half joking. Half.
Half.
Yeah, exactly.
Half, but ouch.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe we should bring it back. Who knows?
If you could pick any venue in the world to play at, where would you like to play?
Oh, Denora Skating Rink.
No. I bet you could get in there.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I don't. Well, I guess I can only pull from all the only venues that I know, which
I think something think like more intimate theater settings, I think, would fit really well for our music.
That's a good one.
So, we recently saw a band called Snarky Puppy. They're like a jazz fusion band. And they played at the Carnegie Music Library in Homestead. And it's a beautiful building, and it's a great space. And I think that would be a really awesome venue.
Yeah.
I know, I guess that's not the most glamorous one in the whole world. But
no, but I think that that is the most, like, I don't know, just thinking about as a duo, and, you know, we wouldn't, I don't know, being on like a huge stadium, that wouldn't, I've never thought about that as being like an ideal place to play. I think that's pretty ideal for us, like a nice theater, you know, with a good amount of space and a just like a beautiful kind of backdrop, and it's more intimate, and I think you can reach people a little bit better in that kind of setting. I would agree.
Yeah.
I would like to play there. I feel like that is a great goal to have for
Absolutely.
Us is to play there one day. So
yeah.
Now having been played in New York and Pennsylvania both, right?
Yep.
Yep.
How would you compare those two scenes?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean,
you don't have to be nice.
Yeah.
No, we...
Well, you know, we were struggling in Pittsburgh. We've been playing together for a little over 3 years, and we were living in Monongahela when we first started. So we were about an hour away from Pittsburgh, and we were having some trouble just getting some traction. We tried booking shows through Drusky and Opus One, and... you know, we just weren't really making very many music friends, and it was tough to go to all the open mics because we had to drive and wake up for work in the next morning, and, you know, we just had some trouble. And then we moved to New York, and we were hoping to have some success there, and in New York, I mean, as you can imagine, there's just so many people trying to make it in music and, you know, trying to gain fans and book shows, and it was just... really intense.
It was really interesting because the thing that kind of surprised me was it wasn't difficult to book a show and book a show at a place that was like pretty popular, like a couple lounges, you know. We would Google, like, I don't know, the best place for an acoustic show, or the, you know, the best venues to play at in New York. And we just emailed them and just said, you know, hey, we would love to play, and sent them links. And they surprisingly got back to us with all of these dates for all these different venues. And we got to play at almost all of them. And, like Rockwood Music Hall, we got to play at, and Mercury Lounge, I don't know, a couple, you know, pretty popular places there. So it wasn't difficult to get a show, but the thing is when you're new living in that city, you know, and there's like a million other people doing the same thing, the venues, it's just kind of like a revolving door, and the venues don't really do anything to promote it, and they expect you to kind of bring the crowd and you to promote it, and you know,
which is fine, which we try to promote, which is much,
yeah, it's well,
we
fine
didn't, we didn't very know many similar people. To here. Yeah, it is kind of similar to Pittsburgh.
I don't know, but well, then what's the I guess so
as far as the promotion aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what comes down to it is that in New York with our situation just specifically, you know, we worked really hard. I mean, we were both teaching and you work all day and every, I mean, it's a grind when you live there and you're just working all day to pay rent, to do what you came to do when you're there. But then on the flip side, you're working all the time. So you don't have time to, you know, like the going out and busking or going out to play all these open mics. I mean, it was effort. You know, we get home at 8. We were further removed from the subway. So that's like a 10-15 minute walk to the subway with our gear. And then we have to take the subway all the way to this thing to sit for 2.5 hours to play at an open mic and then come all the way home. And it just, it was.
And I mean, I think you can definitely do it there. It just, you have to be 100% in.
Yeah.
And,
you have to, you just know, go for it.
You might not. You might be struggling, you know, you might not
financially
be able to pay your rent, but I mean, you're playing 24/7, you're busking.
Right, and you, and that's how you do get the exposure. So it's kind of like, we kind of figured out where our, I don't know, what we valued, you know, when we were there. And you know, we met a lot of people who did it just all day, and they were actors, artists, you know. They were everything because they had to be. And that's what they did all day, every day, and collaborating with other people and just constantly getting it out there. And, you know, they kind of did work as a very basic, you know, basic minimum to get their bills paid. And we just kind of, you know, we wanted other things. I don't know. We worked hard so we could not go broke when we were there. Honestly, I mean, we were lucky to come home not really losing that much money. I mean, we kind of like still saved a good bit. And
yeah, we had some good jobs.
And
you know.
So, yeah.
But upon moving back to Pittsburgh, we've really had a lot of success the last couple months just, you know, making new friends and booking shows and we're really enjoying the Pittsburgh music scene now. It's
been like
really
totally
great.
Opened our eyes because now we're living in Pittsburgh. We're in Mount Washington, so we're super close. And
yeah, we booked a couple shows at Club Cafe, and they were really great.
Yeah,
and we just played at the Arts Festival last Friday, which was a blast. So yeah, things are going really well, and I think the Pittsburgh music scene is really changing.
Yeah,
and there's just a lot of venues that, you know, offer music, and you could, you know, book your own shows. And Opus One, especially, we've had a lot of success with them. They're really great, and we love working through them, especially at Club Cafe.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're really enjoying the Pittsburgh music scene. It's been quite good to us.
Yeah.
I can't remember, and I know we discussed this before. Were you guys prepared to play something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Do you want to play something now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Let me grab my guitar here. All right.
First riff always. Pick
I
when
can hear it.
He picks up the guitar is Monty Montgomery.
It's my warm-up riff. Okay, so I want to play Nothing to Do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to kind of preface this song a little bit.
Yeah. So this song is called Nothing to Do, and when we were living in New York, I had vocal cord surgery, and I was unemployed, so I wrote this song.
1, 2.
Woke up at 7, could have slept until noon. I baked some bread and had time to lick the spoon. Isn't it wonderful? nothing to do. Taking my time, don't gotta be on the run. No, don't have much money, I just do it for fun. Oh, it doesn't matter when you've got nothing to do. Ooh. Sure, I'll go back there and work 9 to 5. But don't know if I'll ever be satisfied. But I just love that for this moment in time, I've got nothing on my mind. I wander aimlessly to see what I'll find. Might end up losing my way, but I don't mind. No, it doesn't matter when you've got nothing to do. Well, sure, I'll go back there and clock in my same old 9 to 5. But I don't really know if I will ever be satisfied. But I just love that for this moment in time, I've got nothing on my mind. So whenever you feel like you're too tightly wound, please just remember it's okay to slow down and cherish those moments when you've got nothing to do.
Feel like I should clap, but I'm holding the mic.
Snaps.
Yeah.
Snaps. Wait a minute.
There you go.
I had to switch hands. I can't snap with my right hand. That's the right hand. I broke a bone in my hand, and there's lots of stuff it doesn't do so well anymore.
Oh, jeez.
It's very pretty, which I normally don't say on this show, but it was very pretty.
Thank you. That was, I guess you could say jazzy.
Yeah, that's probably our jazziest one.
Yeah.
After we said we're not really jazz.
Yeah, right. Like, so yeah. There you go.
I flashed back
a couple winters ago. I was in Chicago to watch the Penguins play outdoors, and my brother and I went to Buddy Guy's Legends, which is a restaurant owned by Buddy Guy. You know who he is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And while we were sitting there eating lunch, there was someone just sitting up on stage playing. It was awesome. And I could see you guys there.
Yeah.
At Buddy Guy's restaurant. All right.
So, okay. I believe the website is buddyguyslegends.com, but Google it.
We will.
Yeah.
Forever in Chicago.
Maybe we'll try to book a show there.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
Cool.
Really cool place. They have his Grammys on display, and it's like wall-to-wall guitars, and just a big stage in the middle of the restaurant. It's cool.
Nice.
Cool.
So I have a copy of Paper Airplanes. It's sitting just out of reach right now. Where did you guys record that at?
We recorded it at CalU, California University, Pennsylvania. And it was very low budget. We basically did it ourselves with a friend of ours, Matt Poyer. He was the engineer and kind of helped us. So he was a student at the time. And we were all kind of newbies at it, and it was a great learning experience. And that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Over two years ago. And
yeah.
It was a lot of fun doing that at Cal.
Yeah.
In like the student music building, Gallagher.
Obviously, you got it professionally pressed and packaged. And
yeah.
Is that disc makers or?
I think we did a site called CD Baby. They like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am familiar with them.
Yeah.
So.
But we're in the process of recording. We have a bunch of new songs that we just have been really eager to record for quite some time. And now that we have a little bit more free time this summer, we're going to try to record a full-length album. Song by song, eventually.
And that song, Nothing to Do, will be
certainly be on it.
Yeah.
Are you going to self-record it again, or do you have something lined up?
We're probably going to go to a more professional studio this time. Yeah. Now that we've made a little bit of money playing some shows, we have a solid band budget. So
yeah,
I know that doesn't go a super long way when you go into a studio, but
it's worth it. I mean,
yeah,
just the quality of the products that they have and, you know, just to have, an ear on, another ear, you know, producer, whoever's there to kind of, you know, get their guidance on some things. And because, you know, we build up a lot of the songs on Logic, and, you know, we like to play around with, you know, how we can build the song a bit. And it's fun to go into a studio and kind of make it a little bit more collaborative and share our ideas. And that's where we're leaning. So,
have you ever thought about adding percussion or some other piece to the band?
You know, for our live stuff, we typically it's just ourselves. We've recently been doing a lot with a loop pedal, where Rosanna will do some beatboxing and vocal harmonies, and I'll loop my guitar and take some leads. So that's certainly adding to give us a bigger sound. But for our studio stuff, just like in Paper Airplanes, we added drums to a couple of the songs, and bass and piano, and you know, we chose to kind of make it more of a produced
sound. But I mean, we would definitely be open. Like, it's just so nice. We have a really nice community now that we're making in the Pittsburgh scene, and we've just met so many like wonderful musicians, and there's just a great group of people who are just so collaborative and so willing to just like jam, and we're really excited to just continue to be a part of that. And you know, if you know, we were to ever find the right mix of, you know, if someone else wanted to join in the realm, we would definitely be open to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
you mentioned that you guys were both teaching in New York, and I know Scott was teaching music. Were you teaching music as well?
I was teaching with a company called Leap Smart, and I went to a bunch of different inner city like preschools, and I did dance and movement and like baby yoga with them. It was great. It was really fun. And I was also nannying, so.
So lots of young ones.
Lots of babies. Lots of babies.
So if you each of you were to pick one person that has been the most supportive for you in your music career, and you can't pick each other.
No.
Who would you pick and why?
I would definitely choose my parents for sure. My mom especially, and dad both, have been super supportive of me, just pursuing music in college, and they're always at our shows, and they're our biggest fans, and I would definitely wouldn't be where I am now without them, and they've been super encouraging. When I had my doubts, they were always there to give me encouraging words, so definitely my parents. I know that's kind of cliche, but certainly.
Boo.
I don't think you would pick your parents.
Huh? No, I would not pick my parents. I would pick my brother, because, well, my brother and I were only 16 months apart, but we grew up, I don't know where we got it from, but we both, you know, did the same thing. We were musical theater junkies and we sang everywhere together. And he was just, we did everything together with theater and supported each other. And, you know, I went to every one of his shows and he came to every one of my shows and, you know, we're still doing it today. And he actually lives in New York now. He moved there right after we left, which was kind of ironic, but yeah, so we both have always kind of had it ingrained and, you know, we've been there for each other through the whole gamut of things. So I owe a lot to him.
Normally at this time, I would ask you where your band name came from. I'm pretty sure I know.
We may skip that question. Well, I think...
Unless, of course, it's like Scott Bakula and... I can't get Rosanna.
And Rosacula. No. I don't know. I don't know. How... What do you
think? Well, you know what? We started... just because I wanted to play some covers at a couple bars and make some money. Yeah. I love to play music and I wasn't really even thinking about writing our own original stuff when we first started. And, you know, the bar needed a name. Like, yeah, just pick Scott and Rosanna. And,
right.
You know, we didn't really have any goals of creating, recording music. And yeah. It all just kind of evolved. We started to write a little bit together and we really enjoyed it. And we played our songs to some people and seemed to get a good response. And,
We never changed the name. I don't know. I think because we would like think about it for like weeks and weeks and we're like, okay, we're starting to write our own music. Like,
and then
our name be? And then it became this whole like.
Well, then we ordered some business cards. We're like, all right, well, I guess we can't change it now. So.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, kind of like Simon and Garfunkel, you know, maybe we'll be a household name sometime. Scott or Rosanna.
I don't know. Yeah. I just figured, you know, like we didn't have some like. Like Scott said, I mean, we never got together with the intention of writing our own music. So there was never like, we got together and we're like, okay, we want to create music that's this particular sound. Like, what name would encompass that sound or something? You know, it was just us and we just started playing together as a couple and as a duo and it was just us.
Oh, yeah, so maybe that's something we should mention. We are a couple and we're getting married next summer.
We're getting married.
Going to the chapel and we're going again. Sorry.
Not to the chapel though.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't go too much further, then I don't have to pay royalties.
Oops.
Damn. Actually, that was pretty old. ASCAP.
We might be okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much where our name, you know. It's just simple. We didn't really want to, like, complicate anything.
I have a similar story, but it didn't work out nearly as well as yours.
Okay.
I play deck hockey. Are you familiar with deck hockey?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we were getting ready to play a season, and, like, literally we were 2 minutes from walking onto the deck, and we didn't have a team name. And as I'm saying to the captain, look at the deck burn. You know what deck burn is?
No.
Hey, well, when you slide on the plastic surface, it leaves like waffle burns on your skin.
Ouch!
And we call, yeah, it burns really bad. And we call it deck burn. Well, we ended up calling the team deck burn because as I was look at your deck burn, the owner of the deck was like, "You need a name now, or you can't play." And we both looked at each other and went, deck burn. But here's why it didn't really work out all that well. During that season, the deck burned down.
Oh, no.
You cursed them. And burned
down. Oh, no. That is bad luck. That is bad luck.
We weren't there that night, though.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it ended in disaster, that name.
It did.
Hopefully we'll have a different fate.
Yeah.
Well, yours is already way better than that one was. So, Did the music happen first or the relationship happen first? And if I'm overstepping my bounds, you can yell at me.
Oh, no, no, no. So, well, we, like we mentioned before, we met in the jazz band, so I already knew how talented she was, and I thought her voice was incredible, and that's kind of what drew me in to her at first. And I'd play my guitar, and we'd sit down, and she would just never sing, ever. It was like pulling teeth. She just did not want to sing in front of me. She was just uncomfortable with it, so I was just constantly getting my guitar out and trying to just sing some songs with her and get Rosanna out of her shell. And so for the first couple months, she just never sang. So well, I think the relationship was first.
The relationship, well, it was definitely first. Because, like, when I was little, just talking about my brother and, you know, we were just performing since we were, like, out of the womb. So it was just, it was different for me and him because, you know, we were always on stage performing. And then when we were off stage, you know, and we would like get together with friends or family or something. And someone was like, and my mom was like, oh, you should sing them that song. You know, it's like, no, we don't want to, you know, if we're on stage and we're prepared to do something, we will do it if it's a performance. But like when we're off stage, like if it's not for Diva. A goal, it just became like, that's all that we could do, you know. It was like we were like little monkeys, you know, and my mom was like, oh, sing this song, and we were like, ugh. So I was kind of like, I did it when I had to do it, and I loved it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved to do it all the time, but I loved like working towards a goal, like I'm practicing for a show or I'm practicing for this, and it was very foreign to me, like the idea of jamming, because I've never done that before. Like, I just grew up with music being very structured. Like, you have a part, you sing that part, like, you know, and you practice, and then you go on and perform, and then that's what it is. And so I felt really uncomfortable just, like, improving vocals and doing things on the fly. It just didn't – I was too afraid, and but he kept pressing me, and – I eventually had to because, like, I loved him. So I was like, I kind of have to do this. So he, like, wrote all these guitar riffs, you know. Like, he would have, like, a couple seconds of a riff or, like, a, you know, a chorus of some sorts. And he would just play what he wrote. And I remember listening to one of them and, like, I just started writing down something. And I'd never written anything before. So it was all, like, very almost therapeutic. Like, I had never tapped into that kind of approach to music. It was very, like,
new.
It was just so new and internal. It was more like, I don't know. And then I just got the ball rolling from there. I couldn't stop after that. So
you actually, I love listening to answers because they always, things other bands have told me pop back into my head. There's a local band, they're called Doppler Effect with an A, not me.
Oh, I think I've heard of them. That sounds really familiar.
That would not surprise me.
Yeah.
They have a song, and I can't think of the title of it right now. Yes, I can. It's Groovin'. When they recorded it, there were no official lyrics. And to this day, I've never heard it sang the same way.
Oh, that's cool.
They literally, he just went up and sang while they were playing, and they recorded it. And every time they've played it that I've heard it, it's been different.
Constantly evolving.
The chorus is the same every time, but the rest of it is...
That's awesome.
That's cool.
But they were pretty big in this area for a while. They play, like, Southern rock, classic rock kind of stuff.
Oh, cool.
And they do a mix of their own stuff and covers. They're a four-piece, and all four of them can sing.
Oh, cool.
The drummer usually sings ZZ Top, but they're a lot of fun. And you guys could probably play with them. Some of their stuff, like, they play some stuff that almost sounds country. They play some stuff that's bluesy. They're another group that you can't really pin. even though I just tried to, a genre on. And, you know, they both, when I first met them, they had three guitarists, and all three of them could play lead. One of them is no longer in the band, but, you know, they just, they're really good.
That's awesome.
Which is why it doesn't surprise me that you heard of them.
Yeah, maybe we'll reach out. That's cool.
There's definitely a, like, I live, you guys live right in the city. I live, like, 50 minutes from the city.
Mm-hmm.
And the music scene here, in the AK Valley, as we call it, is very, and they're very good to each other. Like, you know, they help each other out. They tons of benefits for people. Like, after the fall, I would say would be the head of the scene here. And they play, like, new metal and heavy rock kind of stuff. But, you know, they play shows with cover bands. They play shows with rock bands. They play shows with acoustic openers. You know, it's...
Yeah, it's nice to see. It's nice to see the support of different varying acts, you know, all supporting each other.
Yeah.
Not, you know.
That's super important, you know, to be open to supporting, you know, like if you're in a, that happened last night, actually, with one of our shows. We played the house show that I mentioned earlier, and there was a couple guys there from this, like, how would you describe that? I'm not good at...
They sounded like Rage Against the Machine, kind of.
Kind of. But, you know, he was at our show first, and then he played in Pittsburgh later that night, and we went to their show. And, I mean, our sounds are the polar opposite, but he just, like, really appreciated our music and really liked it. And it was awesome, you know, to hear the support from just different... musicians coming from different genres, and that's really important when it comes to building a community of musicians. I feel like you can't have separate communities, because then where can it go from there, you know?
I've been involved with the local scene here for about 21 years, and my two favorite things that I see is when one local band covers another local band.
Yeah.
And when someone's up on stage and they see someone from another band out in the audience, and they call them up and say, "Hey, sing along with us." You know, or, "Hey,
yeah,
why don't you play guitar on this one for us?" I love those things.
Yeah, those are really important moments, I feel like. Just, yeah, I totally agree.
You know, it's... I this scene, I mean, I'm 39. I've been working, and I've been doing stuff in this for 21 years, as I said. And the thing that has kept me involved, because I don't play an instrument, I don't know how to. I can play Hot Cross Buns on the recorder. but just seeing how they interact with each other and how willing they are to help other people is really what brought me into it, and it's really what the show, the Pennsylvania Rock Show, spawned out of. You know,
yeah,
it's cool.
That's
anyway,
awesome.
Let's go back to you guys for a while. So do you remember the first show you played and where it was?
I don't know.
The River House.
Yeah, the River House in Charleroi, I think, might have been our first show.
Yeah.
And it was tough. We played, I think, for over 2 hours. So we needed to learn a lot of material.
Yeah.
I was freaking out. It's funny to look back on that now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was like a huge deal. I mean, yeah, because we like prepared all these covers, and it was like our first time really playing them out, and it was and it was fun. I mean, it was like, wow, we can do this. Like, and
2 hours first time out is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it was a feat. It was a big feat for us. So
yeah, it gave us some confidence.
Yeah. But, and now we have like over, we probably have about like 3.5, 4 hours of covers. Now we do those gigs all the time. Just,
we're playing a lot of weddings
and bar gigs and events and wineries and stuff. And those shows are fun. Those shows, especially when we use the loop, we get to be a little creative, a little, you know, it's, I mean, I love playing our own original songs, and that's really like where our hearts are, but, you know, getting to go out and play other people's songs and doing our own twist on them is a great way to, you know, make fans and, just
make some money
and have a good time.
Did you guys have anything else you wanted to play for?
I actually zipped my guitar up.
Okay.
I guess I can. I can, do you want to play one more?
Yeah, we can
wrap it up.
We can
play one. All right, let's play one more here. Let me get this piece out.
You know, he just has to unzip it, so.
It should be. I could hear it.
All right.
Well, we should play Changing Time then. The first.
Sure. This is the first song we wrote together.
Yeah.
Lost and broken, but I'll take care of you, and I'll take care of you now. You may fall down, I will lift you off the ground.
And I'll take care of you,
and I'll take care of you now. Oh. Your heavy heart till pieces float into the dark.
And I'll take care of you.
And I'll take care of you now. Worth it. Forget the words they say, they're not about you anyway. Even though their shadows follow. Oh, 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 oh. And I'll take care of you now.
Care of you now.
Oh, thank you.
So I have a couple more quick questions for you.
Okay.
It's getting late, so we'll make them quick.
Okay.
First one is, where can someone get a hold of a copy of Paper Airplanes? Because unlike me, I don't think Scott's going to walk up to them and say, here, take this.
Go on Bandcamp or scottandrosanna.bandcamp.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can search for Scott and Rosanna Bandcamp, or you can go to our Facebook page. Just search Scott and Rosanna. Find it there. Or our website, scottandrosannaband.com.
That is true.
How about some upcoming shows that you'd like to promote?
Let's see here.
Hold on here.
One that comes to mind, we're playing a Simon and Garfunkel tribute show at James Street Gastropub July 17th.
July 16th.
16th, yes. Thank you. So we're really excited about that. We've been practicing some Simon and Garfunkel tunes, so that's going to be a fun night.
Yeah, that's going to be great. So let's see. July 17th. We are playing at the Wiggle Whiskey Barrel House on June 17th. There's like a big, it's a Father's Day kind of celebration, and you can bring your dog, and there's going to be like, it's for dog fathers basically, and it's going to be fun. It's we're going to play outside, and you know, the dogs drink whiskey, we drink whiskey, so that's going to be fun.
Keep talking about.
And that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are, I guess, the only two that we want to.
Yeah. And another story popped into my head, but I won't tell that one right now.
Okay. Is that for off the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was told on the air by the band, but.
But yeah, those are the two. So we got the Wiggle Whiskey coming up on the 17th of this month of June, and then the Simon and Garfunkel show on July 16th.
And where did you say the Simon and Garfunkel one was?
Is that James Street.
In Northside.
Yeah.
I have three questions, but you guys covered it.
Okay.
First one. I was going to ask for your website address.
Yep. Yeah, we did have an old one, and it was just scottandrosanna.com, but we got a new website recently, so it's scottandrosannaband.com. So.
And I was just on it, and I'm trying to remember. It wasn't a Wix website. I knew it was a...
It was Squarespace.
Yeah.
Squarespace, yeah. How recently was that? Because I almost asked Scott if he wanted me to do something.
That was last month. I made that.
Oh, man. I could have saved you some money.
Oh, that's all right. Well, thank you for the offer, but... It's pretty reasonable.
That's how I got involved in the music scene. I started designing websites for bands.
Oh, that's cool. Nice.
Hey, yeah. Is there anyone out there that you would like to give a shout out or thank before we get going?
Bob Dole. I don't know. That just popped in my head.
Was Bob Dole like the politician?
Yeah, it's just something my brother always says as a joke. It's just like a running joke between me and him. I don't know why I said that. I don't know. Not really. Do you? I've never done any shout outs before, so.
Shout out to my mom. We do that one.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having us on again.
Yeah, Dan. This was awesome. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
And we could do it again. We just got to spread it out a while.
Yeah. No, we could definitely do it again.
Absolutely.
Hey, well, you've been listening to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Whoop whoop.
With me tonight, we're Scott and Rosanna. Of Scott and Rosanna. They can check them out at scottandrosanna.band.com.
Yeah.
Or Google Scott and Rosanna. And that's how I found their website. I didn't have to type anything else. So you should be able to find them.
Cool.
And in the meantime, I'm going to play some more of that local rock for you guys. And I'm going to throw in a couple tracks off of Paper Airplanes. Which reminds me, I didn't get you guys to sign a release saying that I could play it. I'm allowed to play it, right?
Oh, totally.
Play away.
There. There, there's permission.
Boom.
I'll get it from you later. And check us out next month. I don't know who the guest is yet because I've been busy working on my house. So it'll be a surprise when that happens. We will see you, July. Oh, Gigaroo, first weekend of July. Go to rockforlifeconcert.com to check out who's playing that. Scott, I told you about Rock for Life, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For anyone who's listening who doesn't know what Rock for Life is, it is a set of concerts that raise money for local children who are battling diseases. I'm really paraphrasing that. But it started in 2000, and it's a good cause. And Gigaroo is a two-night show. It's $20. I believe there are 17 bands to play, and you can camp out. So it's cool. It's in the middle of nowhere, though. Anyway, this has been the Pennsylvania Rock Show. My name is Bill. We'll check you out next month.
This is John, the American Hill Jack Lane, bringing to you the AK Music Scene Concert Calendar for June and July of 2016, brought to you by the American Hill Jack Pro Series Radio. June 10th, Miss Frey's Blues Band will be in Oakmont, PA at the Oaks Theater. June 11th, Miss Frey's Blues Band will be in Gibsonia, PA at the Narcissi Winery. June 11th, the Hellfire Club will be in Akron, Ohio at the Empire Concert Club and Bar. June 12th is Westock in Butler, PA at the RC's Men's Club. Also on June 12th, Miss Freddie's Home Cooking Trio will be in Morgantown, West Virginia at the Wesley United Methodist Church. June 16th, Miss Freddie's Home Cooking Trio will be in New Kensington, PA at the Blind Pig Saloon. June 18th, the Hellfire Club will be headlining Wayo Fest 2 in Lyleville, Ohio at the Lyleville Mount Carmel Festival. Also on June 18th, Miss Freddie's Blues Band will be in New Alexandria, PA at Spills Tavern. June 24th, Miss Freddie's Blues Band will be in Charleston, West Virginia at the University of Charleston campus. June 25th, it's Mayhem for the Minis down in Peter B's in Sarver, PA, featuring the Hellfire Club, Rockbot, Skell, Unfiltered, After the Fall, and more. July 2nd, Twisted Fate will be at Cooksburg at the Cooks Forest. July 8th and 9th, it's Gigaroo out the Island Ball Field. July 16th, Miss Freddie's Blues Band will be in Pittsburgh, PA at the Nides Hotel. July 17th, Miss Freddie's will be in Pittsburgh, PA at the R Bar. July 21st, Miss Freddie's Home Cooking Trio will be in New Kensington, PA at the Blind Pig Saloon. July 24th will be Miss Freddie's Home Cooking Trio in Freeport, PA at Wolfie's Pizza. Also on July 30th, the Hellfire Club will be back at the Empire Concert Club and Bar in Akron, Ohio. For more information on these shows and others, go to the akmusicscene.com. That's akmusicscene.com for your concert calendar needs.